your health with Dr. Burns.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining in. So today is going to be a special day. It's all you have my attention. So it's just going to be me today. I've had some absolutely fabulous co-hosts, and today I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I've had a very interesting couple of weeks. I've had people who I haven't seen before who've tried to come back into my life, and I've also had like new friends end up coming in. And it's as I went through this, there was a lot of stuff that I seemed to notice is when so that's something that I was actually wanting to talk about today with everyone. Hopefully I can teach you guys stuff that has taken me years to learn, so I'm still learning. Which is basically like how to be hard with someone, how to be a friend, how to know like what to, when to put the boundaries up with someone and not feel guilty about it. So for me, I have a private practice, and there's a lot of people that I see. And I had a couple of people come in. Of course, like you're trying to help everyone out in the doctor community. We try to at least help people out. And then there's just some people who just kind of like to take advantage of it and think that we're a service. And so I've actually had an experience with some people in the last, you know, like year or so or more where, you know, I've had people come in who were actually, you know, trying to get some sort of medication without actually seeing a doctor for it. Or what happened was, is that they've, you know, like used it all up. And so they're out looking for someone else to help them out with their medications. And so I was talking with some colleagues on, okay, what exactly do you see with people who are trying to get stuff that they don't necessarily need? And so that's when I got into, you know, like when to say no, you know, like when is it okay to do that, even though you're trying to, you know, like offer service for other people, you know, because in the medical community, I mean, it's like things are, you know, with a standard like 40 patients a day or more, you know, I mean, it's like trying to be, you know, trying to get to know people and trying to see what it is that their, you know, like top needs are, is becoming harder and harder, you know, with us, you know, just because we're so time. And so a lot of them were just like, you know, it's very hard as physicians, you know, see that. But, you know, I mean, it's like there are certain clues that, you know, you can chime into. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, of course, you know, like self-respect. This is one thing that is huge as far as being able to say no and not feeling guilty about it. It's one of the things that I think a lot of people I've seemed to notice seem to be, you know, like lacking or only used during certain times. You know, most of us want to be able to help people out. We want to be able to do service for others, whether we're our physicians or just, you know, like with our neighbors or helping out a friend, whomever it may be. But sometimes our schedules are a little full and we can't get to them, even though we're not, even though we know that they need help. So, well, how do we end that? So one of the things is like, how do we actually gain the self-respect in order for us to be able to move forward with being able to talk with people? Well, as I was doing my research and kind of seeing like from a child's perspective, like what exactly goes on, I just thought it was kind of funny how my daughter will actually chime in with someone if she feels like that they're insulting her, putting her down. She's just like, no, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I mean, she's just blunt out there with it. So I almost started giggling when she was talking with one of her friends about, you know, like, I don't know, whatever it was. I didn't hear what the conversation was between 2 5-year-olds, but then it was just, I'm hearing this, I'm not going to be your friend anymore if you're going to make fun of me. So I think that's really awesome that she was able to stand up for herself like that. But I can see, like, as we end up growing up and as we end up doing things, with our experiences that we have, personal or otherwise, that we go from a person who is like whole and complete, and then we start talking to ourselves saying that, no, we are less than, we are not whole, we are not complete. And so what happens from there is all of a sudden we start putting in these holes that were never there, that were never intended to be there. So holes of, you know, like, oh, I'm only like half a person, or I'm not good enough. You know, this is meant for someone else. You know, I don't really deserve anything. You know, someone else is entitled to stuff. I'm not, you know, whatever it may be. You know, like, I'm not entitled to, you know, like a job I absolutely love. I need to stay in this job that I'm at and that I really don't want to be in. I'm stuck. Yeah, I mean, it could be on and on. So we put ourselves in these situations, sometimes with the negative talk with ourselves, putting in these pseudo holes in our life. And then all of a sudden, we, instead of seeing ourselves as being whole and complete, we see ourselves as being very incomplete, very chaotic, very you know, discombobulated, and wondering, you know, like, what's wrong with me? What's going on? You know, and so that can be very frustrating for people. And with also wanting to, you know, like, stand up for ourselves, following our hearts, a lot of times we end up forgetting who we are, because, you know, as our self-respect, you know, ends up going down, then we try to start people pleasing, thinking that's going to help us out. So we give money away, we buy presents for people, we don't say no, even though we're really tired, and we just are go, go, go all the time. You know, say if we don't want to be somewhere, we still say yes to it, and then we grumble about it the whole time. And because we're trying to feel like that we're needing to fit an image for everybody. So when we do that, then we're just like, we end up losing ourselves, and then we become upset because then everything's chaotic, because we're trying to remember which mold we're trying to fit for which person, or which, you know, family member it may be that we're trying to fit the mold for. And that can be very stressful on people. I mean, people lose sleep over it. And then they're just finally one day they wake up and they're just like, well, who am I? Where, what am I doing? What's my favorite things? What do I like to do? And so, unfortunately, you know, I mean, it's like we all have to come to almost like a near death experience, you know, but not literally, but, you know, spiritually or emotionally, in order for us to be able to start finding ourselves again, because then we realize that, you know, I mean, we've put, like, try and put patchwork over these holes that have been created. And then we're like, well, wait a minute. We wake up and all, I'm really tired. I really can't go over to someone's house at 10 o'clock at night and help them out because I have to be up at 4 o'clock the next morning. So from that, this is, you know, like where our whole self-respect and not being able to say no or feel guilty about it. So what happens is that we stop following our heart. We stop realizing who we are, and we stop realizing what our favorite things are and the things that make us happy, because we're trying to make other people happy. And in that sense, then we totally lose who we are as a person, until we wake up one day and it's just like, you know, I really need to get back into finding out who I am. And then as we start doing that, then people start kicking back and are just upset because they're used to being you being available like 24/7. And now you're starting to put some boundaries in with that. At first, it's really hard to do it, but then afterwards, it kind of gets easier. But as we end up filling in these holes and we're able to see things differently, then it becomes easier. Our true friends will stick by us, and those who aren't our true friends will actually go away as we're trying to make those changes back to being who we are. You know, just to kind of give you an example of something with me personally, there was an incident that happened where there was a friend of mine who was always calling, always, you know, I mean, it's like it didn't matter what time of day it was, whatever it may be, you know, calling and just wanting me to just drop everything and be there for them or do stuff for them. And then I'm finally, I mean, it's like after this being like constant and, you know, I'm feeling drained by it all because I know I didn't want to be there, but I didn't know how to say no. I mean, it's like one day I was just like, I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I've got so much on my plate right now. I just can't do it. And then they ended up getting upset with me, hanging up the phone. And then, of course, then they try again. And then I was just told them, no, you know, like, I can't do it. So a little at a time, you know, I mean, it's like this person finally, you know, just gave up on trying to do what they normally did, because here I was trying to fit their mold on what I thought a friend was supposed to be, which was, you know, someone who basically gave their all. And that was something that was hard for me to do, was to, you know, actually say no, put the boundaries up. And then I found out later that with my friend, they actually had more respect for me because I put the boundaries in and they knew that this is what it was that I needed to do. And, you know, it was healthier for me. It was healthier for them. So a lot of times we can end up in very unhealthy relationships because we don't put our boundaries up. We don't put in expectations for the other people. And then they think that they can just, you know, do whatever, you know, that we're this person who doesn't have like anything else to do except, you know, focus on them. So how exactly do we get back to knowing who we are and seeing us as being whole and complete? The first step is to probably start seeing other people as whole and complete as well. And a lot of times, you know, I mean, it takes a few days to be able to see that. I mean, can you really sit back and just see people as people? Because as we deal with others as we deal with ourselves. So basically it's like whatever it is that you're viewing at that time is how, you know, like with a person is how you view yourself. So if you're irritated with someone, it's probably because they're reminding you of how there's something in you that needs to be changed and something that you don't want to deal with. So a lot of times finding this self-respect and finding this whole person of who we are is a struggle. And it's something that a lot of people don't want to deal with because you have to deal with self. Self is the number one enemy when it comes to stuff like this. And so, of course, we talk ourselves down all the time. We talk ourselves out of things. And then we try to justify why we talked ourselves out of it or why we talked ourselves into it to begin with. And then it becomes harder and harder for us to really sense who we are and what we're doing in order for us to be able to move forward in life and to actually be happy, because you can actually find happiness in life with, you know, with the things that you do. So what are some things that end up people having stumbling blocks with? Well, I mean, here again, it can be like family members. You feel like that you have to, you know, play the politics and say yes to everything with family members. You know, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you can always schedule time with them, but you don't have to, you know, be there 24/7 for them. And, you know, I mean, it's like if there's something serious going on, yeah, of course you want to be there. But if it's little things, it's not something that you really need to, you know, pay attention for. So that's something that you have to judge, you know, like per family on what exactly to do for something like that and when to say no and when not to and when to actually schedule time with that. The other thing, of course, is also with friends. I think it's a lot easier to start working on the boundaries and putting them up with friends than it is with family. Because family, I mean, you just feel like that there's like more pressure there than it is with some of your friends. And I've kind of noticed that too with seeing some of my friends and also with a lot of my own personal experiences on what's easier, who's easier to address. And a lot of your friends who are, you know, you're very comfortable with are a lot easier to address as you make those changes. And even strangers are a lot easier to address than family members are. So, you know, I mean, so you can start small, work with the people that you're most comfortable with, and also work on yourself before heading up for the big goals that you have. So in order, that's one way to have success and to measure success is to start with the small things first, something that you can accomplish first, something that, you know, like with a telemarketer, you say no to a telemarketer. That's easy. You don't know them. So, you know, I mean, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings by telling them no, which they're not supposed to be calling anyway. Just as a side note, but some of the things too is that I'm also seeing, you know, like change up your role models, find people who you want to be like and whose stuff that you emulate and try to be like that. I mean, they said fake it till you make it. Well, it does. It works when you start going in there and you see like how like someone's always positive. Okay, well, I'm going to try to start being positive. You know, it's not going to come overnight. It does definitely take time to do that. So, and when it comes to things like you know, being there, you know, like for someone, you said, oh, look, this person says, you know, is a very busy person, but I see that they schedule everything. So maybe I should start doing that, carrying a calendar, scheduling everything. And that will actually be able to help people out, be able to help you out to know what exactly your schedule is first, fill that in. And then as friends and family members call, then you can fill in around there. So then that way you can say, oh, well, I got this going on at this day, but I can see you this next day. So then that way you're still giving them an opportunity to be able to, you know, discuss whatever it is that they need to do. So, I mean, those are just some pointers that we have. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some other things that we could do to help bring self-respect up and learning how to say no without feeling guilty about it.
Hello and welcome to Here's to Your Health with Dr. Burns. I am Dr. Burns and I have with me from Kitty Corner, I have Elsa. And Elsa wants to talk a little bit about exercise. So Elsa, is exercise supposed to be fun?
Yeah.
Okay, what type of exercise do you do?
I just do ballet, but somehow I don't. But somehow I'm alone like 2 days because Kelly isn't at my...
Okay, so do you like to dance?
Yeah.
Is dance a good exercise?
Yeah, but I usually dance with the 12 dancing princesses.
Okay, so yes, you can dance to music or to videos. They got videos out so that you can dance to. What other types of exercise are there for kids that are fun? How about like, is bike riding fun? No, come here. Recording right now. Is bike riding fun?
Yeah.
So running. What about, yeah, running's fun too. What about swimming?
Yeah.
Okay, and what about jumping? Is that fun too? Yeah. Yes? So are those all the things that we can do to stay healthy and to exercise?
Yes.
Okay, are we supposed to exercise every day?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Well, thank you very much, Elsa, for joining us on our show.
All right, everyone, thank you for tuning back in with us from break. I just wanted to take a minute to thank all those who are out fighting for our freedoms, men and women in the U.S. military. You know, for those who are going to be away from home over the holidays, thank you so much for taking the time to help protect our freedoms. We really do appreciate you guys. And also for the USO for helping to support all the families and also all the troops as well for whenever they come back, for helping them find jobs. And, you know, I mean, we just really do appreciate everyone who takes the time to, in the U.S. military, to be able to serve and for helping us out to stay safe. And we're very grateful and can't say enough on how much on what you guys do for us. Okay, back to what we're talking about here with being able to say no and not feeling guilty about it. A lot of the times what happens is when you first start off trying to say no, at first you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Was that okay? Was that not okay? So you start second guessing yourself. And that's when following your heart is going to be the best solution for you. If you learn to follow your heart and to trust it, then that's when it'll become easier and easier on things for you to do to find yourself as a whole and complete person. When we find ourselves being like as half a person or, you know, like not a person at all, then we stop following our heart. We stop following our instincts and our instincts become dull. And then we end up in business relationships, social relationships that aren't very good for us because we feel that that's what we need to do. And it's not. And if in your heart you said, no, you know, like, I don't want to be friends with this person or I don't want to do this job, you know, like, that's something that you need to follow, you know, because you need to know what's best for you and your family at that time. So like whether you're single or if you're married, you know, it's like when it comes to even doing things like cleaning the house, I mean, do I have to do it spick and span every day? No, I mean, I can just do a little at a day and just kind of pick up, because it's like if I'm feeling tired and I don't want to vacuum, that's fine. I can just kind of Swiffer around, which I think is just as good. And it's like, okay, well, I got the dust and some of the food off the floor. I think that's good enough for tonight, because it varies per day on how we do. We don't have to be 100% every day. You know, I mean, we have to be true to our feelings and who we are and what we're doing. I mean, it's like if we don't like to go bike riding, that's fine. Maybe something else is something more enjoyable for you. Maybe you like to paint. Maybe you like to swim. Maybe you like, you know, karate. It all depends. Everything's different for everybody. I mean, if we're all the same, and I think this world would be a pretty boring place. So one way to be happy is to actually follow your heart. I mean, in a good way. We don't want to do it in a bad way. I mean, in a good way. You know, like if you want to take yourself to a movie, take yourself to a movie. If you, you know, get a babysitter, take yourself to a movie. If you feel like that you want to try gardening, go for it. I mean, you know, it's like all the good things in life. That's where happiness comes from, is when you start realizing and following those things in your heart with the things that you like to do.
This is Dr. Burns, and welcome to Here's to Your Health. We have a special guest today. Her name's Elsa, and from Kitty Corner. So, Elsa, what are some things that you've learned about in between eating good food and bad food? What should you be eating?
Bananas. Oranges.
Okay, what else?
Peaches.
Okay. So, now, are we supposed to be eating good food or bad food?
Good food.
What happens if you eat bad food?
Then we get sick and want to hurt a little bit.
Okay. So then if we want to have energy, if kids want to have energy and be able to play, then what are we supposed to do?
Good food.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So, and that is from Kitty Corner with Elsa.
Hello, everyone, and we're back. So this is great being able to talk to everyone today. So, and one of the things that we were concluding with was being able to say no and not feel guilty about it, and understanding, too, that that a lot of times as people, one of the things that when you start following your heart is you have to start following your instincts. If you know if someone is doing something shifty that's like mean, rude, or they're trying to get away with something, you know, then you need to follow your heart with that and the instincts. So it's like, don't let your instincts, you know, get dull, because if you feel that sense that there's something there, there may be something there. Like they said, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck. And so one of the ways, as you actually become more receptive to yourself and seeing yourself as a whole person, it's going to be a lot easier to be able to approach these people and ask, you know, like, hey, what's up? You know, like, what's the deal? What's going on here? This is what I ended up finding out. But the thing is that there are some people out there that are very good at deception and manipulation. And those are some things that you really want to stay away from. So that way, if there's something that's been said, or a way that they talk to you, or a way they hold their body and are just kind of questioning it, it probably is good to second guess and kind of see what all is going on. You may need to take some time like away from the person just to kind of analyze and collect, and then come back and see what all is really going on. So, and I was doing some reading. I feel like I'm like, oh, I need to take some body language classes, because anyone can, you know, like get stuck in a situation to where they don't know if someone is telling the truth or if they're trying to do like half truth, half lie, which is, you know, still a lie. So if someone's doing half truth, half lie, they're still lying to you. So, and one thing that is a good way to learn how to do this is to watch kids. You know, you can tell from kids and you can tell from animals, like when they're in trouble, what's going on. I mean, because you can catch it pretty easily. It's the adults, some of them that have learned how to put those walls up. They're a little bit more difficult to distinguish. Some of them is just like they don't want to have eye contact with you, that they hide their mouth, they hide their eyes. You know, they try to comfort themselves and they try to speak as few words as possible. And then with the body language, their feet are turned away from you. A lot of times they'll try to, you know, like hide what they have, and they'll like give very short answers. They, if they do go into detail, sometimes you can catch them on that one because there isn't a lot of detail that went into it. Or if they don't respond right away to a question, you know, I mean, sometimes that's something that you have to be concerned about, and something I'm still working on is, you know, when someone stops, are they thinking about something, or are they, you know, to know like how to respond to it if it's a thinking question. So that's why if you can like profile them beforehand and ask them basic questions that they know the answers to, then that way you can kind of know from there. I know that it's like, it's not a very fair way to go, but, you know, profiling definitely does help with that, you know, because sometimes people have like the whole body language thing down, but a lot of times it's in their speech, it's in their tone, it's in their dialect on what it is that they're doing on, you know, like if you can catch them or not. And a lot of times, sometimes people are very good at that and sometimes people aren't, but, you know, just following your instinct is definitely going to be helpful with that. I mean, because people will come up with some really good sob stories. I mean, I had one person in my office who gave me such a theatrical performance with so much drama that was very convincing. And yet I still had something in the back of my head that says, yeah, I'm not buying this. You know what I mean? It's like normally, you know, people try to get in touch with your emotions, try and get you to be empathetic, sympathetic with them. So they will give you a hardball story. But, you know, here again, if you follow your heart, a lot of the times it will help you out. I had one person who was just crying and telling me the sob story, and it was just one of those things where it just didn't add up, because then right afterwards, I mean, within seconds, right after that sob story, they were just back being happy again, telling me about like all sorts of stuff that's going on. And so I was just like, man, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about this person. And the thing is that I was right about it, which was good because I ended up following my heart with that one. And it's just one of those things that, you know, you have to do. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you learn a little bit at a time on what to look for, what the instincts are. And I mean, it's like, you know, hindsight, yes, is 20/20. A lot of times you will fall and on your face. I do that plenty of times, like every single day I go fall on my face, but you get back up and you learn to move on, and you're quicker and quicker with your responses with that. A lot of times what happens with a lot of people who aren't sure or who are lying to you will actually repeat their information instead of giving new information for you. But here again, you know, it depends. And then does their line seem scripted, or does it seem like they're trying to put things together? If they're trying to piece things together and they're thinking, you'll be hearing the filler words like, stuff like that. If it's scripted, they know exactly what it is that they're talking about. So it's like with anyone with any sales pitch whatsoever in any business, of course, everyone has something that's scripted. If you're just trying to think off your feet, then a lot of times those filler words end up coming in. And then that's when my daughter's just like, why do you say all the time? And I'm just like, oh, I'm trying to think of what to say next. Or she'll try and fill in the words for me of what I'm talking about. So that's how you can kind of know that way. And then, of course, with kids, how you know if they're into no good is that there is silence everywhere when they're into something that they know that they're not supposed to be into. So that is something that you always have to watch for, of course, with kids, because they learn from their peers at a very early age when they're saying, oh, you know, don't tell anyone, it's a secret. Well, you know, man, as I told my daughter, we don't have secrets in our house, and it's very hard for them to judge, you know, like what's safe to keep and what's not. So at this point in time, I'm just like, you know, you got to trust your heart. I'm like, right now, you just need to tell me everything. When you get a little older, we'll talk about what it is that you need to do with trusting your heart. If, you know, say if someone's in danger, you really need to tell someone. And if it's something like, oh, I got a present for someone's birthday, then that's something totally different. And so along the way, she will be learning, you know, how to manage those situations. Since she is for me, at least, I know my child's a very brilliant child, and I'm sure everyone else's child out there is a very brilliant child with, you know, with getting to know social cues and what to look for and stuff like that. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in today. It's been great, and we'll catch you next time.